Isn't it interesting how God would often supply you with temporary resources? Ever wonder why some God-given resources come only for a specific purpose and fade away? Today, Pastor Ron Eagleton of Mount Rose discusses the importance of a word that gives you purpose and the frailty of trusting in resources, which could dissipate in a message title when resources lose their purpose.
I'm going to say it again today, because it came to pass. If it's good, it came to pass. If it's bad, it came to pass. It's hard to pass somebody running. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. You're in the will of God, then stand the will. Let it pass you. It came to pass. It's so bad, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do, sister. Solely, this is as bad as it can get. It can't get nowhere, but stay right there. If it can't get any worse, what you crying for? You've come to the end of it. Let it pass you. It will. It came to pass, and after it comes to pass, there is something called an after this. There it, turn to somebody and say, there is an after this. I'm sorry, read, Corey. I'm not sorry, but read anyway.
After these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house.
After what kinds of things? After she has exhibited faith. Don't fall asleep on me. After she has exhibited faith, after she has sacrificed and taken the little that she had, because some of you say, I ain't got nothing else to give. Well, then that's a good place to, if you've given it all. But even after you've given it all, after these things, after she become an example of generosity and faith, what happened, Corey?
The mistress of the house,
yes,
fell sick.
I'm sorry, they're going to think the mistress fell sick. Go back.
That
the son of the woman,
the mistress of the house,
what?
Fell sick.
The child became sick. So after this, the child that she said, I'm about to feed the last wheat and he will die. And after the man of God says that I'm going to give you enough to sustain, God's going to give you enough to sustain you, the child that was going to die, am I still here? Got sick. And the man of God still was living in the house. But the boy got sick. So the man of the man of God was still in the house. And let me tell you what happened to the boy. Right away, he got worse. Record.
And his sickness was so sore,
yeah,
that there was no breath left in him.
Can I tell you what that means? The boy died. The boy that she said, I'm going to feed. We're going to die together because as a mother, I can't leave this child here like he is with nobody to take care of him. We're going to eat this last meal and we're going to die together. And now I'm trying to do better without all that scream. And now, the child was dead. As a mother, she confronted the one that she was a resource to whom now had become her resource. Listen, she took the only thing she still had and, I'm sorry, I'm going too fast, and confronted the man with the power. Read for me.
And she said unto Elijah.
She said to Elijah.
What have I to do with
what
thee?
What have I to do with thee,
O thou man of God?
O thou man of God. I can imagine. Yeah, I know y'all. Her attitude, her words were, O thou man of God. You know y'all's attitude. Been a whole lot of neck stretching and popping and. I mean, those women ain't here, those other women. Read for me.
Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance?
Did you hear what she said? Say it again.
Art thou come unto me to call...
Let me tell you something. Everything that happens to you is not a result of what you did. Everything that comes upon you is not a result of you making a bad decision or a good one. It's not. there are some things you are assigned to. It is ordained that you'll have to face them because God is trying to get glory. Tell somebody, God is trying to get glory. I ain't going no further till you do what I told you. Turn to somebody and say, God is trying to get glory. That's all. Sometimes it has nothing to do with I made a bad decision and I chose the wrong thing and I chose the wrong person and I went the wrong direction and I invested in the wrong thing. The truth is, because of the plan of God, no matter what you would have done, you'd be right there because it is the plan and purpose of God. And I read something in the Bible. You told me that the word is true. I read in the Bible. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are good and not evil, to give you hope and to provide you a future. That's what he said. So no matter what situation I'm in, he said, my plan. Am I out of your plan? No, you're mine. You ain't my plan. But my plan for you is good and not evil. But sometimes you got to know what you got to go through to get through to what my plan is, to what my purpose. You are people of purpose. I got it. Not everything is a result of your choices. God has already provided even when we are unaware. God didn't stop the sickness. God, Elijah's God, who stopped the rain, who made a meal barrel continue to produce, who made oil fresh every day, that God let that boy get sick. God let him get sick, and God let him die. I know you've been asking, where are you, God? Right where he was when you were dancing. Glory to God. Because it's for his glory. She said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, son of man, son of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? She had spoken earlier of the child's death, and God, now it looked like my words made it happen. It looks like my prior sins made it happen. My bad choices. I thank God that God is beyond my choices. Thank God, God is beyond my choices. I made some choices I thought were the best thing, were the biggest mess, and he overlooked them, worked his will no matter. I made some trembling choices. Well, I'm not sure if this is going to work. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me, Lord. And they turned out to blossom because God has the plan. You just got to do the best you can. Elijah's response, I like this, reads. She said to Elijah, and then what did Elijah say?
And he said unto her.
And he said what?
Give me thy son.
Stop. Say it again.
Give me thy son.
Now, this sounds familiar. When he showed up. Sean, I may just dance by myself today. I feel pretty good. I woke up this morning, I feel kind of tired, but I feel pretty good. Look at what he said. Say what? Give me your son. You see, if we read a little farther, yeah, it's good to see you, girl. I'm so proud of you. Yeah. Give me a high five. Yeah. Listen. He says, give me your son. You read a little farther. Where was the son? He was in her bosom. The boy was dead on his mama's lap. He said, give me your son. She had heard that before, you remember? When he first came to town, when the boy was going to die, when she had prepared and the child was going to die, he said, give me a cake first. So now he is saying to her, give me a, hallelujah. Glory to God. 40 some years ago, Brother Howard, I said, yes, Lord. But I believe I'm going to say it again. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. When I was dying the first time, I said yes, and now it's time for a new death. Glory to God. My old ideas, my old thoughts, even some of the stuff I thought I knew about God. Sometimes you come to a place after you have passed the first test that it's time to say something again. Give me your son. And look at what happened. Read.
And he took him out.
And he took responsibility. He was in her house. He took responsibility. She was not restraining.
Now, Pastor Ron, what do you consider as a danger of becoming overconfident in your resources?
There is a danger in becoming over-dependent upon your resources. The danger is considering your resources over your purpose. We have the promise of God for supply of the resources we need to fulfill our God-given destiny. The key is purpose. Every resource is related to your purpose. And without purpose, there is no need for provision.
Well, you've heard it from Pastor Ron Eagleton. Let's continue the message when resources lose their purpose.
Oh, yeah. She was not restraining him from it. She was not holding the boy so and resisting. But she just couldn't let him go by herself. So though she extended her faith stretched out, but I ain't never been one of those. But I believe that it must be hard for a mother. But the truth is, the boy in her arms is dead, and so he takes the dead boy out of the mama's arms. Let's look at something. I'm trying to do better with time. Not real. I ain't trying real hard. Glory to God. See, the cake she gave Elijah had resulted in an unflowing, unending flow of oil and a never empty barrel of a meal. I wonder what he's going to do with what I give him now. When I gave him the last of what we had, he multiplied. I wonder if I give my boy. Now, when you read your Bible, that ain't no big deal. You see in your Bible about people being raised from the dead. But do you know that never before that day had anybody ever been raised from the dead? There was no record in your Bible anywhere of anybody being raised. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's just talk about her and let's talk about ourselves. She gave her son to the man of God. She gave her concern to the man of God. She released her son like she released the cake previously. When the chapter opens, listen to this. When the chapter opens, she has no resources but a live son. When we come to the 17th verse, she's got plenty of resources and a dead son. Father, God, I hear you. When the chapter opened, her resources were diminished. Even though she expected the death of her son, she had a live son. But as God blesses and makes provision, she got lots of meal. She got lots of oil. You understand? What did she need the oil and the meal for in the beginning? Oh, by the way, the title of what I'm preaching on today is When the Resources Lose Their Purpose. I don't need meal and I don't need oil if I have no son. Except that God had not purposed her to be the resource for her son. Are y'all still here? He had called her, anointed her, selected her to be a resource for the man of God. So the reason for the meal barrel and the oil cruse was for Elijah. It was not about her and her son. But because of her faith, and he says, I've got responsibility, he turns, I'm going too fast again. He turns to God with the same words almost that she had talked to God about. But let's back up. Let's back up to us. Let's back up to the way we do things. I know, because I've been in this church. I've been at this Mount Rose church since before it was a city of refuge. I was here when we had a little plot, one lot, and when I was here when it got sold, when the church got sold for the lumber, and they tore it down, and we're in a building not big as this stage, not half this stage. I remember that. I remember when we're looking for land, but didn't have no money, and God granted people who had very little, and they put theirs together. We bought a lot and a half. Boy, we big time now. We bought a lot and a half. I remember that. I remember when we went across Brother Max and said, Pastor Ron, Brother Ron. I said, Brother Ron, you know what? I want you to go look at something. I went down to get my crawfish. He said, that's what he said. He said, I went to get my crawfish. And I passed this church. They want to sell a church. And I was asking them about selling the church. And they it's a building. So I said, okay, we went down, we looked at the building, and eventually we moved the building, we bought the property, we moved the building, ain't that right, Granny? Yeah, moved it down. No, we thought we was big time. We brought church in, and else got painted bright. The church inside was a bright, I don't know what that color really is, but Mother McNeil, Sister McNeil, would you kind of raise your hand, wave to me? Y'all see that color she has? That's the color he painted. Am I right, Granny? That's right. It was, and then my auntie, is Curtis here today? Curtis' mama went out and bought. So it was a pipe that ran from this side all the way to this side of the church. Just a railing. It was a regular plumbing pipe running around. And she went and found some. I don't know where she found it. What y'all laughing at? Y'all don't laugh at my church. We was proud. And we called it Ainini. Ainini found some velvet fabric. Velvet. I mean, heavy velvet. Had somebody to sew that stuff up. And from this side all the way to that side, we had velvet the same color as half those walls were around there. I was there when we painted the rooms ourselves and made designs on them ourselves because we couldn't afford to have somebody else do it. We did it out of our own pockets because we didn't have no other pockets to go to. I remember when the pastor got sick and he let me have the office, then I kind of let me have the office. Then I put shelves in so we have a little library in the office. And me and Sister Kitty's son, Ricky. Y'all remember Sister Kitty, Sister Gabe? Sister. What's the kid's last name? Sister White. When Sister White, me and her son went in and we varnished the room. We just all the walls. We just trying to make it up. I remember that. I remember when we realized we're gonna have to do different. I remember we put our little money together and bought a little cafeteria on the outside. You remember that? I remember when we came to the building and we saw God was blessing us after the demise of Pastor Scott. And we bought 2 acres. First was 2 acres. It was 2 acres right on the edge, like right along in here. That first section between that road and here, we bought that. We said, one day we're going to move up. We had 2 acres. Someday we're going to be bad. And then I remember when they opened when I came into church one day, somebody said something to me, and I tapped Sister Schindler on the back. I said, Sister Lynn, I heard, where's Will? I heard that the complex, Wilbur's complex, is for sale. She said, yeah. She said, and I don't think they want a whole lot for it. So I went and called. I ain't going to tell you the whole story. We ain't got time today. I'm just telling you that. I remember stuff. But in that process, can I tell you some other things I remember? I remember us picking people up for church. I remember my wife, when I headed for church, my wife headed another direction. How many stops did you have to make on a Sunday to pick up people? Do you remember? You had 3 trips, 3 loads. You bring some people to church and go back and get some more people and bring them to church and go back and get some more people and bring them to church. I remember. I remember not knowing for sure whether the church, whether the dress belonged to Baby or to Georgia or to, I won't call other people's names, Baby don't mind and Georgia don't mind, but the dresses went around. You understand? Yeah. I remember that kind of stuff. I remember when we were all come together to pray for somebody to get a job. to pass a test.
Well, Lord, I heard you. I remember that. I remember when we prayed for people to be healed because they didn't have any hospitalization. And well, Lord, let me move along. How often we go to God when we don't have any resources. She didn't have a resource. She had a son. Now she got resources. Her son is dead. How many times we have gone to God for our resources? Y'all hang on. We didn't have a job. We stayed before him relying on him. We're trying to finish our training and get our degrees. Passing a course. We called upon the Lord. Needing his favor for that house, that position, that door open, he was our source. But now that he has resourced us, we forget our source. I ain't lying, I'm telling the truth. Now that he has resourced us, we have forgotten who our source is. Somehow we think we were smart enough, bright enough. You crazy.
If you have enjoyed what you've heard from Mount Rose Church of God in Christ, you can order this message via CD number 052012 or write in to Mount Rose at mountrosecogic.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to serving you again next week from the City of Refuge.